Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The guys on The Big Show have been going at it for 3 hours, but they haven't crashed and burned. Yet.
Well, it's The Big Show.
It's time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove. Purchase your 2020 season passes at GreatLakesDragaway.com.
All right, Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. It is Great Lakes Dragaway Pick a Lane. The Great Lakes Dragaway is open. Check out GreatLakesDragaway.com for your updated schedules throughout the summertime. Great, affordable family fun at Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove, Wisconsin. You want to go race somebody, go race them down at Union Grove, not on our city streets, please. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, executive producer Dan Plucker, and you, the right lane today. You now understand why Colin Kaepernick knelt. The left lane, should Kaepernick get another chance in the NFL? And the return lane, is it too little, too late for the National Football League after Roger Goodell released his statement over the weekend? Those are the three lanes. Now let's see what the gentlemen have to say, as well as you, 414-799-1250. Right lane, do you now understand why Colin Kaepernick knelt? That is the topic. Gary, do you think more people get it now?
I mean, I would hope that they do. But we haven't heard those people call in yet to see if they have actually changed their minds or if they actually do understand. Oh, it was a peaceful protest. It was a peaceful protest from the get-go. And now we are where we are. I mean, and sometimes in our lives, we see guys that come in and make a difference, and they're ahead of their time. I think Colin Kaepernick was ahead of his time. This is the kind of stuff that he was talking about. This is the kind of stuff he was trying to prevent from happening in America. And now we're here. And the people didn't like Colin Kaepernick. What are those people saying now? You know what they're saying? Oh, my God, they're looting. They're tearing up stuff. They're doing this. They're marching. And you had a peaceful protest. And you bitched about that. And now their action being taken. And now you're bitching about that. How can we be right? When can we do it right? Colin, they stated from the get-go. You heard even Andrew Brandt said he fell into it by the network.
Yep.
That was amazing to me, Steve, when you heard him say that, right?
I wasn't shocked by that.
I don't know if we
that
got that
all.
Little cut. How the four-letter network made him say that, and he knew that it wasn't about the anthem. But he goes, well, you know, it's my job. I guess I'll go with it. And that's how it got distorted. That's how the message got distorted, and amongst other people as well.
Okay, that is the right lane. The left lane, should Colin Kaepernick get another chance in the NFL? There was a piece written over the weekend by Joe Lockhart, who is also a CNN political analyst. He was the White House press secretary from 98 to 2000, President Bill Clinton's administration. What say you, Leroy Butler? Joe Lockhart thinks it would be a perfect time for the Vikings to sign him since that's where all this began this time.
No, it'll be a little panderish. No. Nah. Nah. No. No. It ain't going to happen. That's too much like right. Everybody, grandmothers, all grandmothers, white, black, Latino, Hispanic, Mexican, everybody, grandmother said, if it's too much like right, it won't happen. All grandmothers said that. That's why they're some of the smartest people in the world. No, it ain't going to happen. It's past. It's just past. The NFL, they don't want no smoke when it comes to this. And some of these guys, the Kenny Steelers, or these guys, they never stop kneeling. They just don't cover it. But the thing is, until the Floyds of the world and the Sandra Blands of the world, the Eric Garners of the world, and I can go on and on until, you know, and the young man from Minnesota who was reaching and told him he had a weapon, still shot him. Until that kind of stuff is stopped, or the police know that if I do something wrong, complaints, I'm going to get fired. It's going to probably happen again. And that's all he was, it wasn't had nothing to do with the military. That's what I am glad about, though, out of all this. Finally, I didn't want somebody to die from it. But finally, people can say, you know what? It wasn't about the flag. Now, you can make it about whatever you want. But if you're a first-class, top-rate, triple-A racist, this got to be tearing you apart to see white people, black people, Asian people, Mexican people all coming together and saying this is wrong. And I'm gonna go further. Police saying it was wrong. Police been saying it was been wrong. That's what Colin was trying to say. So, yeah, he could have, okay, you know what? I'm going to post something. The injustices, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. How many people you think would have liked it and reposted it? Probably none. I tell you what, I'll go on CNN. Hey, man, I got a game tonight, Wednesday. Every quarterback can talk or whatever, but you know what? I'm going to use my platform to talk about the injustice of African-Americans. It ain't gonna get that many likes, but boy, if you kneel down during the anthem, when everybody's supposed to stop, most people do, some people still don't. They still go get their beers, by the way. That's so impactful. Let's find out what he's talking about. Oh, that's what he's talking about. And then the president got involved. Oh, it's dishonoring the flag. I thought free is free, I thought. I mean, if you give somebody something for free, there's no strings attached to it. It's free. So everybody's supposed to be free. You can do what you want. It's consequences, but you're still free. That's what he was talking about. So I'm glad the military just got dragged through the mud. It was just so disrespectful. It really was. But he's not going to get another opportunity. It's a wrap. It ain't going to work. I would love to talk to Mr. Lockhart. I just disagree. But we can all be still brothers and love each other, but we can always disagree. But it ain't happening because the people that own these teams listen to one person, the president. That's it. And whatever he say, gonna go. They are not gonna mess up the bottom line. Nope. They are not signing Colin Kaepernick, and they're glad he didn't show up. They're glad he didn't work out. They gave him some money, and I just disappeared. But the one thing I wrap this up with, VOTE changes things. That's what changes things. Vote.
That's what the message has been from lots of people around the country. You want to make a change? Vote. That is what everybody is saying for sure. That is the left lane. Should Colin Kaepernick get another chance? The return lane, is it too little, too late for the National Football League after Roger Goodell puts out a statement yesterday? He was met with by a bunch of negative reaction on Twitter. Nothing he said was negative, but the fact that now he's coming out and saying it when he had the opportunity to support Colin Kaepernick and the cause, he and the owners decided to run away from it instead, Gary. And now he has come to the realization that maybe Kaepernick was right, I guess, and tweeted out something similar over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point. I mean, right? I mean, now maybe they circle back. I mean, I don't even know why he thought he needed to release a statement, Steve. That even drew more attention to the situation that y'all screwed up. And I don't think they need to circle back. Listen, it will be great though. I think I'm not saying that Colin Kaepernick is Dr. Martin Luther King or anything like that. But what I am saying is that this guy had a vision. I am saying that he is somebody special and that he saw oppression. He knew what it looked like. He saw police violence. He knew what it looked like. He had a premonition, maybe of some sorts, of how our country could look like. And boom, there you go. It happened. I would love to them to reach out to Colin, try to circle back and bring him, because those guys in our history don't come around often. Those guys that can see things before other people can see them. And I think we can be able to, the NFL, to be able to do good with the NFL and with the guy. I mean, like, I don't know, and we haven't seen anything. What? And I got no bones to pick with Jay-Z or nothing like that. I would think that Colin Kaepernick would represent the NFL better than Jay-Z. Just keep it at 100.
That's all we ask of you here on the show, just like you keep it 100 about Pella
Jay-Z
window and doors.
Jay-Z did talk to the governor of Minnesota. I thought that was very insightful. So that's a start.
What do you say, Leroy?
They had a good conversation about, you know, some change and making a difference. So I think that's the right path, because the governor of Minnesota, he's trying all he can to come up with solutions. So they reached out to each other, and last men sit down and talk. Sometimes you sit down and talk with people, you can figure things out like we do with Gene.
Maybe you can't. Guys, after an all-time record-breaking sales month in May, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin is poised to make June another big month with your choice of 12-year, 2.99% APR financing, or 5 years, zero interest, and 5 months with no first payment. Now, because of our record sales, they're not hiring experienced subcontractors, installers for their Brookfield, Green Bay, and Madison location. Guys, if you're experienced as a window or door installer, listen up for why you should apply now. Pella is the number one nationally recognized brand. Pella's been in business for nearly 95 years, folks. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin offers the highest pay for installers in the industry, and you'll get hands-on training working daily with project managers to ensure your completion. Guys, go check my good friends out today at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
It's time for the Chevy Drive Home Moment of the Big Show.
I think the biggest point that comes out of this draft pick, which Aaron is so honest and thoughtful when he addressed it last couple weeks ago, is that we've got an expiration date on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Like,
yep,
a month ago, you're like, yeah, I mean, he'll just play till his arm falls off or he quits with the Packers. Mm-hmm. And now you're like, no, that cannot happen. Because as a first-round quarterback, you got to play. You got to play. And whether it's in 2 years or 3 years, he's going to play. And Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to quit in 2 or 3 years. So you've got a separation coming. And I think that's what we just got to get our arms around. And the hope is these Packer fans like us that have been spoiled with 30 years of franchise quarterback, the hope is it goes to 45 years of franchise quarterback, and that's the plan.
Your drive home today on The Fan was driven by WisconsinDrivesChevy.com.
All right, there is the Chevy Drive Home Moment of the Big Show from Andrew Brandt, again, a former Packers CFO and owner of Business of Sports podcast, or hosts that podcast as well. And we'll play that interview back for you in its entirety if you missed it, coming up in about 15 minutes from right now. It talks about Colin Kaepernick, talks about the Rooney Rule, talks about The Last Dance and Michael Jordan and all of that stuff, and lots of good insight from Andrew Brandt coming up in about 15 minutes. Great Lakes Dragway, pick a lane. The right lane, do you now understand why Kaepernick? No. The left lane, should Kaepernick get another chance? And the return lane, is it too little, too late for the National Football League? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan. I've got more questions for Gary and Leroy. Gary, I'll start with you, and then Leroy can answer the same question. Do you think social media has helped or hurt the situation of racism in this country?
I think it's helped it. I think it has brought to light what was in the dark. Most certainly has helped it. And it has shown people how people have no remorse on the crimes that they're committing, these racist crimes that they're committing. I mean, you look at the kid that got shot jogging in was that the state of Georgia?
They're the two white guys or whatever, the son and father and son deal.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I'm going for a jog. I mean, come on, dude. I mean, that's how senseless crimes have been towards African-Americans for over 100 years. And we're just now seeing them. And before there were pictures, but the videotape now is, it tells more of the story or gives you more of the innocence that is happening to these people. And that all has to stop. Leroy talks about police driving behind you in your car and how do you feel? Do you get nervous? And also talks about, I just don't think, and Steve, you, of course, I just don't think white dads are having a talk with their white sons about here's what you have to do when you get pulled over by the police. I just feel like Steve Sparky Pfeiffer or Bill Michaels or Bart Winkler are not having those types of conversations with their sons like I am.
Well, Bill definitely has grown people as kids. I don't. But I'm going to have that talk with a 15-year-old getting ready to drive this fall. So I'll be the first one in line. Bart has a baby, so that doesn't count yet. And I got a 13-year-old and a 4-year-old. I can just tell you, when I was growing up, I never necessarily had a talk like you've said you've had with your kids where you're pulled aside and talked about it. I think they tell you, you know, do whatever the police officer says, and that's the end of the conversation, and you move on. Yeah, probably in I guess we'll call it in a white household, you're not having that conversation numerous times. Where Gary, listening to you, I mean, it's a point of emphasis time and time again. And I've watched that show, me and Leroy like to watch the show on Rodney Pete and his family. And Rodney Pete, the former Detroit Lions quarterback, an NFL quarterback, USC quarterback, they had a whole episode on that same type of thing going over with his kids, the same thing. And he brought in a police officer to his home in his yard to go over different scenarios of what his son was supposed to do if he's pulled over and asked to get out of the car, whatever the case may be. He went over that exact same thing on the TV show with his kids. So, yeah, I mean, from that perspective, I think maybe there is a conversation. It's not a very long one in a white household, probably, where with, you know, the African-American household is probably a conversation that happens numerous times, Gary.
Right. And so, I mean, and you're being specific about what you're talking about, Steve. You're not just saying, hey, you know, just, you're not saying be cordial to the police, which, you know, everybody should be, right? But you're saying stuff like, dude, keep your hands where they can see them.
Right. Yep.
Right. Don't be reaching for nothing.
No.
Don't worry about calling me. Just keep your hands where you can see them. Don't run. Don't get out of the car and run and take off. Just stay right there in the car. Keep your hands. And then when he says, when he says, can I see your insurance? You say back to him, Mr. Officer, I am now reaching into my glove box, like you said, to get my insurance papers. Repeat everything that he says to you.
When he did that.
Yeah, repeat. It still may not work, Leroy. We just trying to get home. We just trying to do the best that we can do to get him back.
That's what Grandma used to say. Do your best you can do, baby.
That's all we're trying to do.
Yeah. And really, at the end of the day, that's what it is. Your thoughts, Leroy, on how social media has played into all of
this? Well, Gary's right. Because back then, it was just, whatever the police released a statement, you had to go with it. If you didn't have a lawyer. But now, the arrogance of some of the, I'd say maybe less than 1% of the police officers, 99% are great people. Great people. They see you filming, they don't care. Because I can do this to you. One of my best movies is Black Klansman by Spike Lee.
Yes.
It's hilarious.
Great movie. Great movie.
And they just went undercover with the KKK. It's just a funny movie, but it's very impactful. And he was talking on the phone like he was white to kind of infiltrate them. And I think that's, if I'm not mistaken, somebody help me. I think that's Denzel Washington's
That's
son.
That's his son, yeah, that played the actor, yes.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
Steve,
it teaches you, that movie kind of teaches you life lessons about,
yes,
you know, how to act, really, because he's a police officer. He just tell you how to act.
It's a true story, though, Leroy.
100.
It's a true story.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to a call here. Trell on the north side, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show with Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler.
Hey, how you gentlemen doing?
What's up?
Trell, what's up, my brother?
How you doing, sir? I'd like to comment on the first topic, I think it was, Colin Kaepernick.
Time all in. Time all in, T. You got time.
Oh, man. I mean, I think he was right at the time. And it's kind of a tricky thing when you tell somebody how to protest, because the protest is usually something that's uncomfortable, something that you're doing to draw attention to whatever cause or whatever that you're trying to do. So right. When people were saying that back then about he shouldn't have did it this way, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell somebody exactly how to protest because it's supposed to be unconventional and uncomfortable. So I didn't have an issue with it. I understand why I got hijacked and the reasons behind it. But right now in the world, it's a different type of fury that I don't think I have seen in my 41 years. I think the last time maybe it was this much of an uproar was when Martin Luther King got killed. About a week later, if that, they wrote the Civil Rights Act. So this is probably, and I think at this time, it's the many cities and states that's participating with what's going on, it's even more than it was back then. So I know I haven't seen anything in my lifetime of people actually taking that pent-up anger and, you know, all the feelings that they had from over all these years and actually, you know, displaying it and, you know, letting go and showing it. So I think that we could get to a better place, maybe some better, more productive discussions, because that's what it's going to actually take. Because if they don't find a way to quell this, the next time it reappears, it's going to be worse than this time. So I think something has to be done, and I hope we got some responsible leaders within the world, whether it be aldermen on up to the president, that we can get some things done that's going to be able to ensure that things like this doesn't happen when a man gets killed sensitively on a video where somebody's just casually putting their knee on his neck for almost 9 minutes. So hopefully we'll be in a better place. I'm an optimist, so I think it's bound to happen sooner or later.
Thanks.
All right, thanks for the call.
I do, you know, one of my biggest supporters, my godmother, is Julia Witherspoon. She's been a policeman for over 25 years, and she's retired, of course. And one of my best friends in the world is Art Howe. He's the police chief down in the Racine, Kenosha area. We do Cops and Kids every year. 300-400 cops come down and read to the kids for free. And downtown Racine, just great people. We're not talking about those folks. No. Chris Cole, my friend out in Waukesha, his son Michael, who's white, is my godson, and his daughter. Steve's son is white. He's my godson. Tyler, he's white. He's my godson. And I got 250 black, 50 Mexican God kids. I got thousands of God kids because I love everybody. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying that if we were riding in a car, I'm going to wrap this up because we got to go to a break. If we was riding in a car, the four of us, if one of us committed a crime, we all going to get charged for it. They need to charge those other three officers to bring them down, interrogate them, talk to them, and find out what was the issue. And then let, you know, Keith Ellis, the attorney general, he's going to be over it. If they did something wrong, because you can see the tape clearly, all three of the guys on top of it. That's what I think people feel good about the system. Because we had, I think it was George. I apologize if it wasn't you, George. He kind of told you what they say behind it to get out of this stuff. And that's what people are tired of. And that's what Colin was trying to say. So you just, I don't know if it's a drop the mic moment because we're bigger than that. But sooner or later, I think it's going to be fair for everybody. If not, we all got to live with each other. So we may as well try to figure out a way to get along. Steve, you can go to the update now if you want to.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on the Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler. I don't have patience for
you
that.
You pulled the weight, man.
You don't like that better than this.
There it is. Now you pulled the tongue.
That's a jab, Steve. That's like 30 some seconds long of just beep.
You just saw with Tim. Oh. Tim started talking right away. We heard none of the song.
None of the song. No, he's not going to wait for that either.
I mean,
he's a musician.
He's definitely
he's
not waiting for that.
He did it just to get on me and Gary's nerve. We loved him.
Yeah, you know he did that. Yeah.
All right. So, Andrew Brandt, former Packers CFO and now Business of Sports podcast. Really he does good. That. Really, really, really good. Been in the NFL for a he's long really time. Good. He joined the show earlier.
He was really good.
And talked about numerous different issues, including what we talked about in the first hour, and that is, do you understand now? Do you think people understand now why Kaepernick knelt after all of the rigmarole that was said of why they thought he was kneeling when in fact it was about police brutality and so forth? And here we go with Andrew Brandt.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and I think people that listened kind of understood it all along. He was, the only time he really spoke about what he did was at the very beginning, which was after a preseason game in August of whatever that year was, 2016 maybe. And he just talked about police brutality and unequal treatment for minorities when it comes to law enforcement. It was right there. I mean, the soundbite was always there. But then, as we know so well, it got conflated with military and specifically the flag and the anthem. And as I talked about on Twitter today, I mean, I feel some complicity myself because doing my spots for ESPN, doing my columns for Sports Illustrated, I would kind of phrase things and they would say, well, let's just call it anthem protests. Let's call this segment or this column or the title. And I would kind of say, well, it's not really what it's about. And then I'd kind of give in, okay, anthem protests, you know. But, no, it was never that. And I think what happened with NFL owners is they kind of listened to their fans, and their fans had conflated it. Therefore, it became bad business for the NFL. And the NFL kind of listened to this majority, I think, that was saying, yeah, let's keep politics out of our game, and that's why he's been treated so poorly by the league.
Isn't it just, I mean, it's almost deja vu that we circle back and then this is where we are now with the killing of George Floyd. We see that, and now I guess we can plainly see what Colin was talking about, you know, those 3, 4, 5 years ago. And I just wonder, when you look at that, will the NFL circle back? Because I think you tweeted too that the whole workout was a sham. They really weren't going to sign him. I mean, do they circle back and try to reach out to Colin after this?
Well, again, a couple words on that workout, because that was, in my mind, you know, I, like you guys, have been around the NFL a long time, and I had never, ever, ever seen the league set up an individual workout. The league sets up combine workouts, you know, for hundreds of players. It sets up all kinds of, you know, when combine types, the teams have workouts for individual players. And at the Packers, we'd bring a few guys in every Tuesday, or we'd bring guys in the off season, etc. This was the league. It was, you know, it was so unique. And, of course, it got muddled, and then, you know, the argument over the waiver and the argument over the camera crew, and then it went to a high school field, and only 8, I believe, or 7 of the 20-something teams that showed up to see him in the Atlanta Falcons facility could be bothered to go over to some high school field, which is even closer to the airport. It's just a mess, which tells me there was a lot of cover your you-know-what in that workout where they could say, hey, if you 32 teams don't sign this guy, it's not on us anymore. You know, we did this. We set this up. We gave him a unique opportunity. So I just thought, like, what the heck is this? And of course it didn't work, and I think it set Colin Kaepernick back. No fault of his own, maybe a little fault of his own, for making them do it on his terms rather than theirs. But listen, I knew then, and frankly I knew before, I wrote about it in 2018, no one was going to sign this guy. And I think a simple fact is that you want a backup quarterback who's just anonymous and quiet. You don't want attention on that position, especially that kind of attention.
Yeah. It's to me, one thing I'm glad about, Andrew, this is what I'm glad about. I'm glad we can get away from the military part of it. That really ate at me. I mean, I take Metamucil all the time, but it just bothered me. Because we all love the military. I have two brothers who's in the military. So I'm glad that is gone now. So now we can focus on this. What about all these programs that we saw they were supposed to be putting money into these communities and doing all these things? Because Gary's godson and a good friend of mine, well, we say nephew, but he's really Gary's godson, Kenny Stills and some of these guys, they separated, Andrew. They separated. Yeah. They didn't agree on some of this stuff. I just don't see some of these programs. They were supposed to be donating money and doing all these things. Maybe they are. I just haven't seen it. And maybe that's the reason why it's been a bigger deal now with the NFL getting involved, releasing a statement. Did you read their statement, by the way, Andrew?
Yeah, let me
what you thought about the
coalition, Leroy. And I know Kenny Stills, and he's reached out to me on Twitter direct message a couple times about all this stuff. He's, you know, he is part of a coalition, or not part of the coalition, that was led by Anquan Boldin and Malcolm Jenkins and others.
Yes.
That Kenny Stills and Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid and Russell Okung and that group said, we're not part of that. And they looked at that as a real co-opting with the NFL and sort of jumping in so the NFL could feel good about these causes. Let's just, first of all, let's not make light of that, what Malcolm Jenkins and them are doing, because, you know, they've had meetings with DAs. I know Malcolm and Chris Long went to the Pennsylvania State Capitol to talk about incarceration reform. They've done some good things. But there is a feeling among some players, as you mentioned, like Kenny, that they just are doing whatever the owners, you know, sort of light stuff rather than hard stuff like we're dealing with right now. And I think the statement was, again, one of those mealy-mouthed statements. And I don't put the NFL solo in that category, Leroy. I just see so many of these statements like, yeah, we support inclusion. I'm like, come on. I mean, that's just
right.
Everyone doesn't like violence. Everyone doesn't like racism. I mean,
looting. No one likes that stuff, man.
I just can't read some of these statements because, A, I think a lot of them are written by PR people, not by themselves. And B, you know, it's kind of like the thoughts and prayers when something happens. Like, that doesn't mean anything anymore.
Talking with Andrew Brandt here on the Wendy's Big Show. You know, we see a lot of professional athletes getting out and getting in the middle of this. We've seen NBA players out and involved in this over the last few days. Enes Kanter was involved, Malcolm Brogdon, Jaylen Brown, pictures of J.R. Smith, he was involved. LeBron James was on a bike riding through L.A. for whatever the reason, pictures of that. How big of a role do you think these pro athletes can play in trying to help with all of this?
Yeah, that's a great question. And this is where I think football players are at a loss compared to basketball and baseball, simply because of the guaranteed contract thing and the fact there are a lot less players. You know, LeBron James and people like that, you know, they can do whatever they want. The team's not going to have – they're not going to have any job security issues.
Exactly.
I frankly have had players reach out to me because I'm kind of an independent voice and say, you know, I'd like to do something here, not just this week, but in the past. But, you know, I'm a I'm so replaceable. And teams can just, you know, find another linebacker, find another fifth linebacker or fourth safety or sixth receiver. Like, I can't do that. Like, I just can't. And I'm like, you got to be true to yourself, but I understand your business concerns. I mean, these are the kind of things that athletes think about all the time. And, yeah, it's great that LeBron and others can be as bold as they can, but, of course, you know, they're not worried, and they shouldn't be worried. But I find this a really interesting time with sports where you mentioned Kaepernick. A lot of athletes see what happened to him, and they're scared to speak out.
You know, what's your thought on, I guess it's not the Rooney Rule anymore, but the new rule they're putting in place to try and hire more African-American coaches or maybe get more African-Americans in the front office? I just tell you this, I'm torn about it. I mean, I don't want to be, as an African-American, I don't want to be given a job to try to meet a quota, and then I go into the meeting room, Andrew, and I have no say-so. I'm just sitting there. I mean, I got nothing. But then on the other hand, I feel like, though, it's an opportunity. Maybe I can make them like me. I mean, I'm just so torn with it. We need opportunities as African-Americans, but I don't want to be that token black guy.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I was on a panel at the Super Bowl with Tony Dungy. We really got deep in this because I think, you know, all the ideas are good. The problem with the Rooney Rule in these things is you just take a snapshot, right? So the snapshot in March of 2020, you only have 3 head coaches and 2 general managers of color, and you say that stinks. But what's really going on behind it? Like, what are the assistant coaches? What are the position coaches? What are the quality control coaches? What are the scouts? What are the salary cap people like I did? What are the executives? What are the finance, the PR people? And so I think the new rules are going towards more inclusion of all those levels. The thing that got the attention, which I think the NFL just floated out there as a trial balloon, see how people reacted negatively, was this incentivized program. You hire minorities in these positions, you get improvement in draft round, you know, and people are like, I don't want people to hire me because I get them the higher draft pick. But the NFL just kind of threw it out there, and I think it was kind of, we'll see. And, of course, it didn't pass. They didn't even take a vote. But the NFL is trying. I just continue to say, you got to go grassroots. You can't just focus on the top.
Right. And I wouldn't feel right if I didn't ask you about the draft? I mean, we got to get some football in here, crowbar this thing in here. Now, here's what's getting on my nerves. A lot of media people claim that they felt like the Packers are lying to them because they said, that, you know, as far as drafting Jordan Love. Oh, he was the best guy on the board. And I tweeted out, listen, to all the people that are bothered by this particular pick, just get over it. It ain't, whether you don't like the fact that for 25 years you said this was the best receiving core, why didn't you choose one? It just seemed like they're mad with the Packers because they were wrong about what they value these receivers, and the Packers didn't take any receivers.
Yeah.
So maybe they just believe that Jordan Love fit for what they wanted to do.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about this a lot that week. It was just, to me, everyone's comparing it. With Aaron, you know, we took the best player on the board. We didn't want to take a quarterback going in. Of course not, you know, but at some point you have to evolve. You have to prepare for the future. In that case, you know, we took Aaron, we had the Lambeau Field party below us, 1,000 people. You could hear the boos roar up from the floor below us. And Brett called Coach Mike Sherman, Brett's agent, Buss called me. Aaron put on a good face. He couldn't have been happy coming to Green Bay, not playing. And then for 3 years, you manage it. You know, I'm managing Brett's side, which is, hey, Andrew, it's not great coming to work every day sitting with your replacement. And then I'm managing Aaron's side, which is saying, is he ever going to play? Is he ever going to play? and it's like you can't win. You're just trying to keep everyone calm. And then now they're going to have to deal with that. But I think the biggest point that comes out of this draft pick, which Aaron is so honest and thoughtful when he addressed it last couple weeks ago, is that we've got an expiration date on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Like,
yep,
a month ago, you're like, yeah, I mean, he'll just play till his arm falls off or he quits with the Packers. Mm-hmm. And now you're like, no, that cannot happen. Because as a first-round quarterback, you got to play. You got to play. And whether it's in 2 years or 3 years, he's going to play. And Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to quit in 2 or 3 years. So you've got a separation coming. And I think that's what we just got to get our arms around. And the hope is these Packer fans like us that have been spoiled with 30 years of franchise quarterback, the hope is it goes to 45 years of franchise quarterback. And that's the plan.
I see you wrote an article here in Sports Illustrated. It says comparing Brett Favre to Michael Jordan. Backlash to proposed win rule expansion. So we talked a little bit about that. But you said here, what is it like when one superstar is seen as more important than the team? Was it like
When I watched The Last Dance and everybody's busting on Jerry Krause, and by the way, you know, I got to deal with him. I worked for David Falk at the beginning of my career, and he represented Jordan. I mean, everyone's busting on Krause for saying, you know, it's not just one player, it's a team. And, of course, people are laughing because it's Michael Jordan. And I said to myself, you know, that's sports management. You know, every front office guy, I was one of them. You don't want everyone focusing on your star. You're like, you know, coaches, like, don't people realize we're putting schemes out there? And management is like, don't people realize we're molding a team? And scouting is like, don't people realize we found these gems in the fifth round and this guy and that guy? It's not just Brett. And PR is like, hey, you writers, can you do more about players besides Brett? So I saw it for 10 years, and I'm sure it goes on there with Aaron. It's like you want people to realize it's a team sport. So I don't begrudge Jerry Krause for constantly saying team, 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 because that's what you want in team sports. You don't go into it thinking, I'm going to get a star and then throw the ball out and sit back.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. See Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler. Only about a minute left here. If you missed it earlier, Jeff Passan of ESPN stating that the potential season MLB envisions would run somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 regular season games. Now, again, they have not sent back the counter proposal to the Players Association yet, but this is according to his sources, Passan's of ESPN. The exact number is being considered. The aim would be to return in July, so somewhere in the area of 50-game regular season, and the players would get their full prorated salary for those 50 games, something that was determined back in March originally was that they could have a shortened season, but they would get their full prorated salaries. Well, the players thought they were going to get a heck of a lot more games than only 50 games, and that appears to be what Major League Baseball is going to do. Fine, you don't want to split revenues? We'll play a lot less games. You'll get your prorated salaries, and we'll save our money that way. It doesn't appear the players are in a position to win unless they decide just not to play. And also a report out today saying some Major League Baseball owners don't even want to play the season in fear of how much money they're going to lose, that they would actually save money by not playing the season this year. So we'll have to wait and see how this whole thing plays out. I'll talk to you again tomorrow at 2 on the Wendy's Big Show. Zach Gelb's show of CBS Sports Radio up next here on The Fan. Good night.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.